of my dreams. Is this not the way it seems? Purple words on a gray background. To be
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Michelle Kinsey-Bruns, who is the online manager for the Women's Media Centre. She is a longtime feminist blogger, activist, and organizer who's taken part in abortion clinic defense actions at clinic protests in 7 states. She's also spoken on online activism, social media, and reproductive rights for organizations including the Feminist Majority Foundation, the Women's Information Network, Now New York State, and the National Council for Research on Women. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michelle Kinsey-Bruns.
Hi there, Ian. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And your organization, which is co-founded by Jane Fonda, Robin Morgan, and Gloria Steinem, the Women's Media Center, have launched a petition to urge the President of the United States to have more women in his cabinet. He certainly did pretty well in the first cabinet, did he not, with the Secretary of State. Catherine Sebelius is still there. I don't know what her fate is, as is the Janet Napolitano at Homeland Security. What's your sense of what the numbers are going to look like? Let's begin with that.
You know, it's tough to really predict the numbers because as the administration itself hastens to remind us, you know, they come out one at a time and they're not done yet. But, you know, the optics of having the four big nominations of his second term be white men is discouraging for those of us who really want to see him continue a not bad record for representation of women in his administration.
So in terms of the big slots that remain, what about Attorney General? I mean, Eric Holder has not impressed very many people, particularly those who felt that there was no justice done after the Wall Street meltdown in 2008, which was attended by massive criminality, and nobody's gone to jail for that. There are some very good women, some of whom he tried to appoint in his first term, Dawn Johnson being among them.
Right. She was the nominee, actually, for the Assistant Attorney General as specifically the head of the Office of Legal Counsel at the DOJ. It's kind of a wonky, obscure position that not a lot of people have heard of, but hugely important to those in the know. And certainly, yeah, you know, having her nominated in 2009, renominated in 2010 after no action was taken by a stonewalling Republican contingent, you know, really was pretty insulting to the plain fact that she was exceedingly qualified in by any reasonable objective standard. Us at the Women's Media Center, our big push right now is actually to have a woman head of the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, that is more within the mission of our organization, which is visibility and power for women and girls in media. And the FCC is unique in that it has the greatest amount of influence over broadcast media in this country. And broadcast media is really supposed to represent the American public, right? The FCC chairs a public interest position seeking to regulate for the greater good of the citizenry. And the fact of the matter is that in 80 years of the FCC's history, there's only ever been zero women chairs of the FCC, two African-American male chairs of the FCC. And you see a distinct connection between those horrible figures and figures of media ownership amongst women and people of color. Women, according to the Women's Media Center Status of Women in U.S. Media report that we put out in 2012, only own 6% of TV and radio licenses. People of color own 3% of TV and 8% of radio licenses. This is not representative, and an FCC chair who has a little bit broader perspective than the kind of typical white male that we've become accustomed to could have real influence in making sure that American media looks like the American people.
Again, I'm speaking with Michelle Kinsey-Bruns, who is the online manager for the Women's Media Center. She's a longtime feminist blogger, activist, and organizer who's taken part in abortion clinic defense actions at clinic protests in 7 states. And we're talking about the deficit of women in powerful positions in the media and in the Obama cabinet in the second term. Of course, President Obama owes women enormously. 55% of America's women voted for him in the last election. And that so far it appears there'll be fewer women in his cabinet and in positions of importance and power. Now, the FCC, we just had the Golden Globes out here in Hollywood, and Rupert Murdoch apparently was interviewed by somebody and asked about whether he's going to buy the Los Angeles Times and the Chicago Tribune. And he said, well, I'm not sure, because it's a question of who's in charge of the FCC, and with the Democrats in charge, it's not looking likely.
Right. It's true, and not every eye will weep for Rupert Murdoch. It's true, but he makes an excellent point, and I think he makes my case for me, in that there's a discussion going on at the FCC right now regarding cross-ownership rules for media outlets in this country. We actually had this conversation in the FCC in 2007. There was a proposal very similar to the current one to allow Rupert Murdoch to own, you know, scads and scads of media outlets, TV, newspapers, and radio all in the same city. And at the time we had this conversation, this dialogue in the public in 2007, the public overwhelmingly said, absolutely not, we don't want that. There were 3 million public comments submitted. Thousands of people came out to public hearings to say, no, this is not in our interests. And so the proposal went down in 2007. And look, here we are. It's 2012, 2013. Current Chairman Janikowski is trying it again, but this time he's very clever. He's not doing the big public hearings. He's not opening this up to public comment. So this proposal out there, who knows where it's going to go, assuming that the FCC does change hands, which, you know, it hasn't been officially announced that he'll retire, but it's widely expected that he will. And again, you know, a woman or a person of color would help represent those numbers in a more accurate way.
Well, how does one translate the numbers with political influence here, both in the issue of the last election, where women overwhelmingly voted for Obama and clearly helped him more than any other group get elected, and yet they're not getting commensurate political clout and payoff? And then you have this paradox in the media, where 75% of women are the primary shoppers for all household products, which, of course, are the bread and butter of television in particular in terms of advertising. So there again, you know, if you can't beat them politically, maybe you can beat them in terms of a consumer activism. I mean, in other words, is consumer activism and political activism, can they go hand in hand?
I think that they can, and you know, to the point that you made about women controlling quite a lot of the purse strings in terms of household purchasing and driving the economy, that speaks to, for example, the issue of advertising, deceptive advertising, for example. That is a thing that has to be regulated by the government, and that is under the purview of the Bureau of Consumer Protection at the Federal Trade Commission, which is another, incidentally, big federal agency. Never had a female chair. 14 commissioners at the FTC have been women, but no chairs. And so, again, it really is a question of not making the assumption that naming a woman to either of these posts or any other instantly, you know, makes everything better. But it's simply taking into accountability a person who has the perspective to change the view. What we've actually seen in a report by Free Press from a few years ago is a good point about ownership of media, again, particularly, is that when you see media that is owned by women or owned by so-called minorities, overwhelmingly, that's local media, whereas white male media kind of correlates with big corporate media. And obviously, anything from advertising to actual media, the regulation that is imposed upon these channels, it is in the best interest of local communities for that to be locally driven.
Well, I, for one, would like to see more women ownership in the networks, because then we wouldn't have these dreadful shows. Like, I just happened to watch a bit of this thing called The Bachelor on ABC, where a whole bunch of women, really attractive young women, were there on tender hooks while some idiot guy handed them roses, and their entire fate was in his hands, and they were quivering with anticipation. The whole thing was the worst kind of objectification of women. It made them look pathetic and supine and helpless in front of some dorky guy. I mean, what happened to the feminist revolution?
Well, you know, the networks would tell you that they just put out there what folks want to see. But when a lot of the media does kind of reflect these base, low-down sexist values in many different ways, it begins to look like a situation where American media consumers are forced to choose between media that's bad or worse. You know, it's kind of a lesser of two evils situation until we can see a little bit more representational, diverse ownership, regulation, programming on all levels of media. And, you know, again, it's not that naming a woman would magically fix this, and I very clearly don't want to imply that we would expect for any woman to come in and start, you know, violating the First Amendment left and right by telling people that they can't be sexist. We just, you know, we really just want to see a broader perspective shown. And, you know, what you hear back as a response to this push of ours so often is, well, you know, are you seeking for Obama to discriminate? You know, why pick somebody based on their gender? You should pick the best candidate. To me, saying just pick the best candidate, don't pick a woman, kind of implies that there's no woman who is suitable to this job, that the best, quote-unquote, candidate must be a man. And I think best is kind of an elusive quality. What you want is a capable, excellent, qualified candidate. And there are many of those. There's an article in the National Journal in November that named straight off the bat six fully qualified, very capable women who could run the FCC no problem, two of whom are commissioners right now. So no, you know, I'm not looking for somebody to come in and ban The Bachelor. Just want somebody who has a little bit more thoughtful view on this.
Well, I guess though, Amy Poehler made up for a little bit on the Golden Globes, where after Bill Clinton's surprise appearance, when he left, she said, oh, wasn't that great? The surprise guest was Hillary Clinton's husband.
Hillary Clinton's husband. That was a fabulous line, and I enjoyed Tina Fey and Amy Poehler quite a lot. You know, their unique perspective is, it should be a little bit less unique, is what I think.
So you're talking about, in terms of qualified women for the FCC, people like Karen Kornbluth and the current commissioners, right, Mignon Clyburn and Jessica Rosenworcel.
Correct, absolutely. A couple of other names that have popped up, particularly in the National Journal article from November, was Susan Crawford. She's a law professor now. She was President Obama's special assistant for science, tech, and innovation policy. She's also a board member of ICANN, the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. The FCC is very kind of broadband-focused, perhaps a little bit too much so for those of us who understand the importance of broadcast media. But, you know, for looking for an FCC that's very much focused on digital, Susan Crawford would also be an excellent choice. Susan Ness, Obama Transition Team, FCC Commissioner under Clinton. And as you mentioned, the two female commissioners, and Karen Kornbluth has just come back from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development at the UN. These are all extremely capable women who are all proven to be able to operate at high levels in a presidential administration. So, you know, we're not asking for anybody to lower their standards to get a woman in there. The point is that there are women who can do it because they're doing it already.
So, Michelle Kinsey runs again the online manager for the Women's Media Center. They have a petition out now urging the President Obama to appoint more women to senior positions, both in his cabinet and in other government agencies, such as the Federal Communications Commission, the Federal Trade Commission, the U.S. Department of Justice Antitrust Division, and Commerce Department's National Telecommunications and Information Administration. Of course, the other agency that has been completely orphaned for some years now is the Federal Elections Commission. I mean, they don't even have a quorum as far as I understand. And is there any sense there that, because a lot of Americans are very concerned about the effects of Citizens United, which had a profound effect on this last $6 billion election and will continue to do so. And that maybe is a place where something can be done.
It's true, and specifically we are only just beginning to see the far-reaching effects of Citizens United that affect all people, of course, in America, but there are certainly specific implications for women as well. We saw just recently, in fact, there's the case of the crafts and hobby store based out of Texas called Hobby Lobby, and Hobby Lobby has made a case that their First Amendment rights say that they will not, they must not be forced to provide basic ordinary contraception coverage to its employees as part of its employee health insurance. And they're using, as a rationale for this, the Citizens United decision, which basically, you know, turns corporations into people with First Amendment rights. So certainly, you're absolutely correct to say that the FEC is also a key thing to watch as we move forward.
So just in closing, Michelle Kinsey-Burns, I also read an op-ed piece by Jane Fonda, Robin Morgan, and Gloria Steinem, the co-founders of the Women's Media Center, titled "Obama Put a Woman in Charge of the FCC." Presumably that, along with the petition that you've got, is getting some attention. Where do things stand now? I mean, what are you hearing back from the White House?
You know, it's interesting. When we put out our petition first, which was Friday before last, and incidentally that petition can be signed at change.org/womenFCC, when we put this out, there wasn't yet a lot of talk about the whiteness and the maleness of Obama's second-term nominees, but within days of our putting that out, it actually started to become quite the conversation of mainstream media attention, and we saw in the press conference that President Obama had this week that that they're hearing about it from us from all levels, you know, and they do defend themselves saying, well, you know, wait until all of the faces come out. And that's fine. You know, we're waiting. We just really want to see women included in them.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here today, Michelle Kinsey-Burns.
Thank you so much, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Michelle Kinsey-Burns, who is the online manager for the Women's Media Center. She's a longtime feminist blogger, activist, and organizer who's taken part in abortion clinic defense actions at clinic protests in 7 states. She's also spoken on online activism, social media, and reproductive rights for organizations including the Feminist Majority Foundation, the Women's Information Network, Now New York State, and the National Council for Research on Women. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. We can also contact me. And the conversation continues at facebook.com/ianmastersmedia. And I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.